Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Barbara Eldridge, your host for today's show, which is Trending Women. And with me today is our leading lady, Maria Simone, with Passion to Prosperity International. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Barbara. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's been a long time since you and I have had a connection, and yet this is probably the first time that we've really talked about the things that you've done and how you've done it and where you are now. So I'm really, really excited about it. You know, you started out in corporate America, and you know, now you're really in the heart of entrepreneurship. And I'm just curious as to how you took it, you know, came out of that corporate America and got involved with entrepreneurs, you know, almost all over the world, from what I can tell.
You know, it's really funny, Barbara. I was just thinking about that. And I believe we are born a little bit with that entrepreneurial gene, a little maverick in us, the one who's willing to take just a few extra risks. And because I started my first business when I was 11, I was organizing the kids in the playground and putting on shows and in someone's backyard and offering tickets and things like that. So I had that. To them, it was a game, but to me, that was like my little business, you know. And so I had that in me, and of course I was talked out of it. It's like, get serious, go to school, get a job, the whole thing. And so of course I got a professional degree. I became a pharmacist and had a very successful career in that, Fortune 500 arena, working in management and all of that. But I still always yearned to do something on my own, to be free. I understood that, I wasn't really going to create the wealth that I wanted, just trading my time for dollars, working for someone else. And I finally, I had this building in me many, many years ago. But here's the deal. I remember having these thoughts years prior to before taking action. So I think the thought to do it was there for a long time. I think it took me about a good 2 years to actually allow myself to step into it. I think that's the biggest thing is, for many people, they hold themselves back in that fear, like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do this? But the truth is, once I stepped out of it and I not only resigned from my, job, but I actually retired my professional license. I, cut the cord, so to speak. Wow. And once I did that, though, I really flourished. I mean, financially, I didn't expect it, but I really not only, exceeded the first year what I was making, but it was just coming from different directions. It was very interesting. So
it must be that 2 year thing, because I did the same thing. It was that 2 years that I finally made the jump out of corporate America. And you're right. There's something about that. But you work with entrepreneurs. You had your own business, but when did you start to see the need to help other entrepreneurs?
Well, about 10 years of doing it on my own. I had businesses. I started a business. I grew it. I sold it. I have a 7-step process that I use. It's kind of like my own blueprint of taking an idea and then, putting a plan around it, building a team, funding it. I got very good at funding my entities and then getting it out there. And I did it a couple of times. And, I realized people kept, of course, coming to me for advice and all that. And I realized, it's more fun to do it with other people. And so I'm about 10 years into it, I really started helping others and doing more consulting. And I act as their virtual CEO. Sometimes I'll step in with someone and say, you know, go do your passion and let's ramp this up together. Like, I'll be here with you. I love that, and that's a lot of fun. But I have events now where my network, the people that I work with, my mentors, my team, they all come in, especially at the Enlightened Entrepreneur Summit, and we're working together on your blueprint, building teams, because that's the key is to be able to hold a space for someone. I didn't make my step out, you know, and take that step, I think, until I felt supported and validated. I started surrounding myself with mentors and asking a lot of questions and really feeling good about taking that step. And it's so important for entrepreneurs to have someone who can see your vision, who can hold the space for you. You know, you didn't have to do everything for you, but it's important to stay connected like that, because that will give you, you know, everything you need to just take that next step. And once you do that, all the resources are there, the money's there. You know, everything that you need to succeed is very close, especially these days. There's an abundance of resources.
And, you know, that's the funding part has always been the part that has stood out for me as I've seen your material come in over the years. And that focus on funding, you know, it seems to me a lot of small business owners see that as their biggest stumbling block. So, you know, how did you get beyond that, you know, you have to go to the bank and get the money type of thing? See, our founder of Connected Women of Influence, that was her background. She was in the banking industry, you know, helping small business owners get loans. But I see that for a lot of people as a stumbling block. So how did you get beyond that?
Well, I learned years ago that, you know, I think I was reading a story about Benjamin Franklin, and he became very wealthy by helping the local merchants. You know, he invested in them and supported them, you know, people around him, his neighborhood, so to speak. And, you know, that's how he lifted up his neighborhood, and also he became wealthy as well. And really that's all we had, you know, when this country started. And so I go beyond the traditional resources. I always tell people, you know, the money hasn't left the planet. So regardless of what you've heard in the media lately, regardless of what you heard in the media lately about investors going away and all that, the money's still there, and we just have to get more creative. So there are actually dozens of funding strategies, you know, that I work with. We talk about half a dozen different strategies at the summit. I even invite, if people don't believe me, there's money. I invite my investors in. We do this like Shark Tank with Heart. It's called Fundraise, and it's an investor pitch event right at my summit. It's really great. People love it, and they really see that, oh, wow, there's a lot of money out there. So the point is you have to get educated that, you know, around your options, like, is crowdfunding good for me, and, you know, how can I get corporate sponsors, which is like free money, and how do I speak to private money, and, you know, all of that. So there's many wonderful strategies. So you need to become educated. You want to make sure that you have the confidence for it, because money has a different vibration around it, and you want to match that vibration. Your external prosperity can only match your internal prosperity. So while we, you know, share the strategies and put your funding plan together and help you move forward in business, we also have to support you in raising your vibration and be able to receive, you know, that money so that you're in a deserving place. That's equally as important. And that's where I come in. I love combining the practical business building and the funding, it's a big conversation, with spiritual wisdom, you know, with the universal, you know, spirituality of it all, you know, that there's energy, and, you know, it's about you and really stepping into a place of love and wisdom around it. And when you combine the two, you become unstoppable and you become a magnet for money. So that's my, you know, that's
where the passion.
Said.
That's where the passion is.
Can you tell?
I hear it. But I'm
so curious. That's why I created the Enlightened Entrepreneur Summit. It's like, here, come, let's work. Yes, we're going to tell you how to make a lot of money, but we're also going to tell you how to be, you know, receive it, and how to be an incredible person around it, and, you know, allow it to show up for you as a magnet.
Well, because it's interesting, you know, the business name that I mentioned is Passion to Prosperity, and oftentimes in, quote, the business world, that word prosperity doesn't always come through, and then the enlightenment that you've added to it is certainly a different twist on it. And so I'm always curious as to whether, you know, the type of entrepreneurs that you work with. Are they generally product people? Are they service people? You know, I think service businesses tend to have more challenges with the funding aspect of the business. How does that show up for you?
Well, any business in any industry, and that's another thing. People say, yeah, but, you know, like I'm not, people aren't going to invest in me or fund me or there's no money for me, what I do. And they just stop it there. And that's actually what I did in my first business. Who's going to fund me? And I never raised capital in my first business, and it just became this big, it made this big sucking noise the first year. And I'm sure people can relate to that. But the truth is, any business, any industry, there are people that will invest in you. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. It has to do with, are you going to stick with it and do what you need to do to, you know, make it grow so that I get my money back? Or whatever deal you make. There's other exchanges of energy besides the money. So you don't always have to pay back money, and some people prefer that. I do that as well in other funding resources. So you have to understand your options and pick the one that's right for you. And that's why I like a funding plan to me is like a marketing plan. You know, it's not one size fits all, and you have to determine what your goals are and where you're going with your business, and then we choose the best options, and then we go for it. And that's really what it's about. So when people... It's quite beautiful when somebody realizes how deserving they are of the money and how, you know, once I can step out of their business and say, hey, look, this is what you really have. You know, you can't see it because you're so close to it, but this is the value that your potential value even. It's either there or, okay, here's the potential value of what you have, and these are the types of resources that are available to you. And once you open doors to someone to have that money and to have the support that they need, I mean, they just, like, really take off. It's like, if I can do that for someone, you know, be a kind of a gateway for them, it's like the moving sidewalk at the airport, right? They were climbing up a mountain, and now they're on a moving sidewalk. But I love that, being that. And then they do their brilliance. They do their work after that. So, yeah, any business, Barbara, service, product, digital, I mean, anybody, we make it happen. We organize your business to be able to support, you know, receiving the money.
Right. Well, then you said you didn't do it for your first business. So what transpired, you know, for the second one in terms of developing this funding for the next one?
Well, because I had success in the corporate arena, I took some of those skills into entrepreneurship. And by the way, they don't really translate. I was very arrogant about it. So anyway, oh, my gosh, I was so arrogant about it. And I said, oh, of course I'm going to be successful here. You know, I know what to do. But the truth is, it's a completely different animal. I was always used to having budgets and people and money, right, to you know, make things happen. And all of a sudden, it's like you're left with an empty canvas. And so I was building my business, and I didn't know anything about funding. I didn't know that I could, you know, actually bring it in to grow my business. I practically went bankrupt, and I sold the business within 2 years because I just wanted to get out of it. Now, the business was actually successful. I made money, but I left a lot of money on the table because I left so soon. I should have taken another year or so to really ramp it up, and then it would have been, you know, quadruple the value. But I just was so scared. I was like, what the hell is going on? And I was doing everything right. I didn't want to go bankrupt. And so I realized, you know, intuitively that when you step into doing your life's work, there's joy around it. There's inspiration. There's creativity. There's love. There's, like, you know, when you finally are in the zone, you know, you're doing it. It doesn't have to be a major invention or anything, but when you're really doing what you love, you want to be able to enjoy it. The journey is just as important. And so you want to be in a space where your needs are taken care of. You're working hard. I'm not going to say I don't work hard, but, you know, you're in flow. You're working hard. You're engaging with people. You have a lot of support. You're inspired. You're being creative. You know, that's a really great place to be when you're building your business. When you're broke and trying to figure out how you're going to pay your rent or you can't afford the help, you're constantly in fear. You're struggling. It's like it's not an inspiring place. And I said, you know what, God, I don't think God meant for it to be like that. And so I learned about that. I discovered, you know, ways I could fund it in a way that was a win-win with everyone so that I had the resources I need to hire people who knew what they were doing, because quite frankly, most of us would get fired, you know, from other jobs. The things that we do in our business, you know, we get fired from. So that's all. I learned it and then I did it. I've raised tens of millions of dollars over the years, not just for me, but I've supported other people in doing that. And now I get it. You know, the money's flowing. It's out there. You just have to know how to plug in and get in alignment with it.
Excellent. Well, let's take a break for a quick commercial break so our sponsors get a little recognition here.
Yay.
Just want to say thank you to one of our sponsors, which is The Pulse, which is live with Cindy. And The Pulse does event coverage and video marketing with an interview style. For more information on The Pulse, you can go to www.thepulsesd.com. And now back to our show.
Well, that was a quickie for us. You know, the Enlightened Leadership Summit that you're doing, you do these couple of times a year, or is it and the people that you invite to it? How did you get started with it, and what, you know, what is usually encompassed with it?
Well, the Enlightened Entrepreneur Summit, it's the EnlightenedEntrepreneurSummit.com, and I've produced over 200 events. I know we live in a virtual world right now, but there is nothing like, you know, the physical connection with people. You know, you actually get business done faster when you have that physical piece to it. And especially when you're talking about bigger, you know, a contractual opportunity or funding or, you know, things like that. I just love the connection and the networking. So I have through networking myself, I've created an amazing team. I have wonderful resources, and that's always moved my business forward. So it just came naturally to me to be doing events. This event came out of the fact that I really wanted to not only share with people how to build their business, because I have a 7-step business building blueprint that I take people through. And it's really like the soup to nuts. These are the steps that I use to build my business. And it includes funding, and we talk a lot about it. But it also a lot of marketing, you know, how to get connected to your customers, how to ramp up really fast, really with, you know, with no dollars. You don't need money, actually. You need to, when you know what you do, when you know how to make money, you don't need money. So anyway, I use that. But the other side of that is the more of the really showing people how to step into more enlightened place in their business, how to use love in their business. You know, what does that look like? How to create wealth and share it. You know, how to be more sustainable. So you're really doing more with your money and not just making money. And finally, we want to demonstrate how to use your business as a force for good. When you tap into really high service and more charity and supporting your community, when you make that part of your marketing, part of everything you do in your business from the beginning, you will succeed faster and, you know, in a higher place, like beyond your wildest dreams. And people wait. They say in such struggle in their business, just trying to make money. And it's not about that. If you can get plugged in early on to the energy that's around you, the people that's around you, they will lift you up and take your business out there, and you'll make more than enough money. But I have to demonstrate. We have to show it. So we invite people who are really, you know, living that. And so Marianne Williamson will be there, which I'm really excited about. She's got an important. I'm so about love, enlightenment, and really now politics. You know, taking love and humanity into politics, and so we have other people that will demonstrate that, who created, you know, multi-million-dollar businesses with sustainable strategies, like right from the beginning. And we do a lot around funding, and you have to be there. You have to physically be there for that, because I want people to have a visceral sense of being around all this money, you know, and success. And I want it to rub off on everybody. So
I'll tell you, my first reaction to that, you know, 10 years ago was frightening.
Yep,
that idea.
Yep, yep.
It's frightening. So how how do you draw people into it? You know, how do you overcome that initial fear that people have? All these people that have been doing it, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I know we say we want to be around people who are successful, but, you know, in a room, you know, I guess the best word is frightening. So how do you get past
that?
Well,
we don't really, you kind of, It's very subtle because I just wrote a blog post about it. You know, somebody who said, oh, my God, this is like I met the most extraordinary people, you know, at your event, and I created an extra $60,000 specifically, you know, just from one connection there. And so mm-hmm. she was sharing it. And so I've invited my friends, my colleagues, you know, to come in. And it's very subtle. And people don't realize who's in the room until you get there. And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, and it's really great. I just want you to be there for, you know, I'm going to give you my secret. We'll lure you in to grow your business, right? We're going to lure you in because I'm going to show you how to make more money this year. And that's how I'm going to lure you in. But once you get there, it's like 100 times more than that. So that's how people, but you just have to show up. I mean, it really is extraordinary. There's a lot of masterminding and networking. So
excellent.
If you're intimidated by all that, you're just going to have fun anyway. You don't have to think about it. For those who, and you get to watch other people like make pitches to investors, you can step back, you know, and watch things happen, and it'll rub off on you. But it's everyone has a great time. It's not intimidating at all.
Now, you know, one of the words that we used in introducing you on the radio thing was the money has not left the planet, and you're the new voice of enlightened capitalism. What does that mean, and what can we glean from it so that, you know, whether we come to the summit or not, we can walk away with something here?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think capitalism, you know, sometimes you think of it as in negative terms, especially
for a
spiritual person.
I was just going to say, they have made it a very, very negative word these days.
Especially if you're a spiritual person, and we have such a separation, and it makes me sad, too, because there's such a separation between, you know, having success in your business and, you know, embodying all these spiritual principles. And when you do that, when you separate that, you're not grounded in it. And so what happens is you're not in a receiving mode. You know, you're not in a place of really receiving prosperity. You're just constantly giving, you know. But there's got to be an exchange of energy. And when you give all that service, naturally you want to receive, you know, that prosperity, the money. Now, the money is good. To me, money is a beautiful thing because it's just a vehicle to do other things. So there's so many things that you can do with the money, you know, to help other people and keep it in circulation. And so once you understand that, it's about, you know, service and love and all that, then you start embracing capitalism and you use it, you know, to it's not just about serving you, but serving your causes and your community. We have an obligation. If we have a talent, if we have a product, a service, we have an idea that's going to help other people, we have an obligation to get it out there. So capitalism is a good thing in that it's a vehicle for people to, you know, exchange their talents and services, you know, for compensation. Now, the way we make it more enlightened is to really put love around it. You know, loving yourself and loving the people that you're supporting really elevates it. The other thing is, you know, create wealth, but then circulate the wealth. So you want to give back as much to your team, your stakeholders. You know, how can I create more wealth and abundance in my business and share it in a way that everyone wins, you know, it's like a glorious win. And then finally, you have power in your business and we don't use it. We're undervaluing what we're creating. So I want to show everyone how to take their business and use it as a force for good. So we're actually becoming now the voice, and this is what Marianne Williamson is saying too, and I was inspired by that. It's like, so what? You make a lot of money. What are you doing to solve, you know, to feed the hungry children? You know, what are you doing to stop abuses of women? And so we can use the power of our business as an enlightened capitalist to, you know, make those changes. It's not an extraordinary, you know, people think, oh, I have to wait till I'm a Bill Gates and start foundations and do all this. No, you do it every day. And to be quite honest, it's part of my marketing and business so that I'm building up these charities and these causes and they're helping me move my business forward. So those are my three areas of enlightened capitalism, really the, you know, bringing more love into business, more love-based leadership, and, you know, it's more collaborative, not competitive, you know, creating wealth and sharing it in ways that really serve others, you know, beyond what you can do just on your own, and then using your business as a force for good.
Wow. it sounds like a huge task, but your enthusiasm, I think, is what perhaps has gotten you to being that voice and really being able to promote it out there. Is anybody else doing what you do? Or, I mean, other than the people that you've brought into, do we hear this anyplace else, Maria?
Well, you know, people are just being it. And Richard Branson is a great example of someone who, you know, fosters that. He does it in, you know, it's like oozing out of his pores, and he makes calls for it all the time. So, you know, Richard Branson is someone who really embodies it. You know, I don't want to, the only reason I mention the, like, enlightened capitalism, because I want to give it some, I want to give it a great definition for people that, you know, allow them to step into it, not be intimidated. But most of the time, people are just embodying it. Ben & Jerry's is a great example of, you know, a company that models that.
Mm-hmm.
They gave a lot to their community. Starbucks, I just had, in fact, I was just with one of the VPs of Starbucks. I know, you know, I know many of those people. And, you know, he always says, they say, you know, they really encourage other CEOs, don't hoard your wealth, you know, share it. And be naked. Did you ever not have a nice experience at Starbucks with the barista? You know, the baristas have the most incredible, incentive plan.
Right.
And they really have ownership in the company, and it makes them feel good. And guess what? You get a happy cup of coffee,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that's what it does. So there's a lot of companies that are modeling it, but we think you have to be a big company, and you don't. And so I want to take it to the small businesses, which are the backbones, you know, really of this country. And so when we start taking these practices of these big, you know, conglomerates, and we put in our business, you really take off.
Well, this is fantastic, and I know you have the Enlightened Entrepreneurship Summit coming up. What, in a week?
Yes, this is starts this Friday, so I'm liking.
And I know you want to share some.
I do.
So why don't you let people know what you're offering here?
Yeah. So thank you. I have a gift. The tickets are normally they start at $497, and then we have different VIP packages, plus people can make a pitch and all that, but I wanted to give some tickets. And so at least I have a promo code, a coupon code. It's Barbara. And if people go to enlightenedentrepreneursummit.com or eesevent.com, it's eesevent.com, when they go check out, all they do is they enter promo code Barbara and then zero it out, or hit apply, and it'll zero out the ticket price. I just want you to show up. I want you to be there. Let me show you this model. It will change your business. It's a very transformative weekend, but we have, you know, really, you know, very practical business building strategies on the weekend. So you're going to love it, and you're going to meet some incredible people. I guarantee it. So
how can people reach out to you? Other than the summit, URL. Where can people find Passion to Prosperity?
Well, we're in the middle of rebranding and doing some stuff. I took a step back for a year. I've actually took a kind of a year off, not off, but I was doing some other things. And so we're working behind the scenes. I have a blog. They can go to Facebook and look up Maria Simone. They can go to my blog at mariasimone.com. But they actually, if they sign in, to the enlightenedentrepreneursummit.com, you can get a free report. It's 10 success strategies for living in the flow as an enlightened entrepreneur. So some of the things we spoke about, you know, things that they can actually take action on right now, it's really good stuff. I mean, it's really meaty. And
well, it's obviously moved you through several different kinds of businesses and helping other people do that. So
you know, Barbara, I just want to say that I'm not. Look, I've had the same challenges as everyone else. I've had, you know, I was impacted by the, you know, last economic downturn. I had a real estate portfolio that, you know, we had to quickly get rid of. And you know how that is. And then we have lines of credit, and then we have, you know, all these things shifted. And I had revenue streams that I just needed, closed down. And I had a divorce last year, and I moved. And, I have life. I do my life just like everyone else. I have the same challenges. But me, for me, I have a sense of a strong sense of grounding around me, and I have some very, very core principles that I abide by, and I have a good set of tools. I have my own. I have a blueprint that I follow, and so anything that happens to me, I bounce back quickly, and I have a good attitude about it. And so anyone can do that. I'm not like this odd person. People say, oh, I can't do what you do. I'm not like you. No, you're not right. Like me, but trust me, I have the same issues. So you can't, you know, we can't afford not to do this because the world is speeding up a little bit. You know, there's a quickening, and things, weather is going to keep happening, and, you know, the economy is going to keep happening. And so these things are not going away. And so unless you get a new set of tools and shift things in your business, and if it's not working and do it fast, you're just going to get swept up, and there's no reason for that. This is a great era of prosperity and enlightenment, and we all have
This is a great way to end our show, Maria.
Yes.
I so thank you for being with us today, and I hope some of our listeners will take advantage of the summit, and we'll look forward to doing this at another time. So thank you again, and for all of our listeners,
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.